Welcome to this episode of Now That's Something Good, the podcast where we explore the extraordinary in the everyday ordinary. Now here's your host, Sarah Good.
Hey friends, welcome back. We are so glad you are here. If this is your first time listening, we want to welcome you to the Something Good family. We love sharing stories each week and hearing how truly extraordinary things can happen out of the everyday ordinary. So I want to tell you about something new we're starting. We'd love for you to join us each Friday as we celebrate something good. We want to start the weekend strong by filling everyone's feeds with all the good things. Create a story or a post on your social sharing something good. It can be anything. Just make sure to tag us so that we can see it and share it too. And you just never know when we will pick one of you to send a little something good to. Make sure to join us for Something Good Fridays. This month, we are taking time to chat all about relationships. We've asked some couples to come share with us about their relationship and what they've learned along the way. Whether you're married, happily single, dating, waiting, or engaged, we think these conversations will encourage you. We can all learn a little something from those who are in maybe a different season than us. If you are in a relationship, you might want to listen to this together. There are some great questions that we raise along the way that would make for some amazing date night conversations. This week, we are talking with our friends, Ron and Debbie Cathcart, who just celebrated 33 years of marriage. We've known the Cathcarts for a long time, and they are the real deal. We've had the privilege of attending the church they started over 20 years ago. They are our friends and ministry partners. Ron is my pastor, coworker, and is technically my boss. I think you're going to love this honest and fun conversation. So here we go. Hey friends, welcome back to Now That's Something Good. Today in the studio, I have our good friends, Ron and Debbie Cathcart. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
I'm going to give you guys a chance to introduce yourself in a minute, but I just got to tell you guys listening, like Ron and Debbie, we've been friends with them. How long? I mean, we go to Two Rivers.
A long time.
Ron and I actually get the privilege to work together. I'm not going to let him talk about that though, because I don't want him telling stories and he doesn't want me telling stories on him. But why don't you guys take a second, introduce yourselves individually. Tell us a little bit about what fills your days right now and a little bit about who you are.
You go first.
All right, I'm Debbie, and right now I spend my days doing whatever God brings to me that
love
day.
It. Yes, yeah.
It could be substitute teaching. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of that at Francis Howe Middle School mostly, and I always enjoy a day there. And then grandkids,
yes,
still at least a couple of days.
Yep.
During my week, and then, like I said, whatever else God brings my way. My mom and dad right now, I try to make it down. They live in Arnold, Missouri, and so I try to make it down there.
Yeah,
probably about once a week, and so that almost fills up my week right there. So.
That's a lot. That's a lot. And we're going to come back and talk about all those things more because you already hit on great things I got questions about. Ron?
Yeah, so I'm Ron, and I have been married to Debbie for 33 years. We celebrated our 33rd anniversary.
Woo! That's crazy. So great. 33 years, right?
Yeah. We celebrated that on February the 6th. And actually getting ready to go away for a week. We usually try to get away for a week and celebrate our anniversary every year. So we're getting ready to go away for a week. We're excited about that, to hang out. And you know my story. I'm Ron. She's Debbie. We have four boys, Carson, Cameron, Connor, Cooper. And I always say, I'm Ronald Ray. She's Deborah Kay. It's Carson Ray, Cameron Trey, Connor J, Cooper Clay, and we're all Cray Cray. Oh, I slapped the table. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
And so anyway, I talk with my hands. You know that.
It's okay. If there's extra noises, this is why, guys. It's fine. No.
Yeah, no. So we have four boys. We have two daughter-in-laws. We have three grandkids.
Yeah.
Two girls and one boy, and then another little boy grandbaby on the way in April.
That's awesome.
And so that's our family. That's who we are, and very blessed.
That's great. And what is your day job, Ron?
Yeah, so my day job actually is I have the honor of being the pastor at Two Rivers. Got to start Two Rivers 22 years ago, something like that, and been doing that ever since. I always tell people that I couldn't find another job, so I had to start my own church because I couldn't find one to hire me, which is not really true, but what a journey that has been. Honestly, never thought I would be in one place as long as I have been, but yeah. It's been a great blessing. And so I do, Sarah, get to work with you, and that's always a blessing, and we have a great team. And
we do.
So yeah, that's what fills my days is being a part of the team at Two Rivers.
I love it. Yeah. Well, I'm really excited that you guys are here to talk and share with us. So we are making February kind of like relationship month, just talking about all the things, and it's really quite a miraculous thing that you guys have been married 33 years.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons. Yeah. And
what are you saying?
No, Sarah. I'm saying I know Ron Debbie.
Yes, exactly. That's what she's saying. She's like, how did you need to be? I work with this guy. How have you been married to him for 33 years? That's exactly what she just said.
But in today's world, a lot of marriages. I mean, it's still over 50% end in divorce, and a lot of people don't even get married today. It's just a whole lot of things with that. And so we wanted to take time to really just talk about that. So I want you to bring us way back to the beginning days of Ron and Debbie. And Debbie, I'm going to ask you to tell the story first, but how did you and Ron meet? Like, just tell us all these details.
Well, I'm greeter woman at church. I love to meet new people.
Yeah.
And I love people. And I was greeter girl at First Baptist Church of Arnold back when I was 13. And we had this new person show up to youth group. And the youth pastor brought him over and introduced him to me. And so that was our first meeting.
Okay. Well, Debbie, I got to ask you a question because I've heard it's a little unfair. Friends that I know a little bit of Ron and Debbie's story. I've heard some of this. And so I often get to hear Ron tell this story because Ron speaks from our stage most Sundays. And so he tells some of these stories. But Debbie, I really feel like we need to hear from you. Like, what did you really think of Ron then? Like, was there any, like, I need the true details, true thoughts on...
Well, you know, he was a new boy at church.
Okay.
Well, that's a... And he was kind of cute. He was kind of...
I'm going to need pictures from way back in the... I don't know if I've ever seen.
I've okay. got them.
We're going to have to get those to share.
Actually, one of my friends just sent me a bunch of pictures this week from back when we were in youth group. if this was only, you know, I could show you some pictures.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, we can post... We'll find a way to share, Debbie. Don't worry.
But anyway, that was our first meeting. And okay. He was pretty quiet, though. Really?
Okay.
He was quiet.
Ron, what did you think? What was your... Do you want to tell us the...
Yeah, well, my version of this story is a little different in that... So I do remember that my family had been going to another church, and my dad said, hey, we're going to go to the First Baptist Church of Arnold. And so Debbie's family was still pretty new down there. Her dad was the pastor, and... Anyway, we went to this new church, and I remember standing outside the doors of the auditorium, and I saw Debbie walk through the doors, and so, like, for me...
This is the story I've always heard. Here we go, people.
When we met, like, and so, again, when I tell people, I was 16 at the time, and she was 13, right?
Yes.
And so my boys always, when I tell their story, they're like... Dad, that is so gross. Like, she was only 13 years old. And I'm like, you didn't see your mama when she was 13, right? Like, because I'm telling you, 13-year-old Debbie Davidson walked through the doors, and I heard the horns and bells and whistles and angels of heaven singing. And I'm like, that's my girl right there.
You knew right then.
Now, it took me 11 years to convince her to marry me, but I knew right then and there. Like, so, you know. What's the Rascal Flatts song, God Bless the Broken Road? It was kind of a broken road for the next 11 years, but we managed to finally get it together. But seriously, I did. When I saw Debbie when she was 13, I was like, holy cow, look at that girl right there. That's my girl.
It.
So
well, so now we got to hear the story. So what, I mean, you just said it took 11 years in there. So like, just give us the little snap, like what was going on? I mean, obviously you weren't going to, I mean, I guess... You weren't going to get married at 16 and 13. You guys didn't even start date. I mean, like, I need some fill in some details here. So when did you start, like, dating or going together?
Well,
what was the...
You know, this secret is out. It's
the
long
secret
been
is
out.
Out.
But back in the day...
This is going to get so good, people.
Back in the day, you went on church visitation.
Church visitation.
Okay.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes. Visitation. Okay. And and the youth group went out on visitation, too.
Okay. Can you tell people what that means, just for people who don't have any context?
Yes. So Monday night was church visitation night, and anybody that had visited the church on Sunday, got a personal visit.
Okay.
If they filled out a card and put it in, you know, in the plate,
yep,
they got a personal visit. And if there were teenagers that had visited the church, they got visited.
Okay. Okay.
So we would always go to church visitation very quickly. Ron started coming to church visitation.
I have no idea
for
why.
For the youth group.
I've been holy for a long time.
That's it. Yeah. Yes, that's it, Ron.
And Ron and I would go out on visitation together to make our visits.
So good.
There's more to the story.
Don't go there.
Well, now you got to go there. Is there something else we need to know about church visitation?
Well, we didn't always make it to the address of the person. Like, sometimes I would go other places.
Yes.
But Ron, you were
maybe parking.
He was trying to corrupt you.
And that's
a term that probably most people don't use. Would you like to tell us what parking means, Ron?
It's the opposite of church visitation.
Oh, boy. There we go.
Well, she was only 13. Her parents wouldn't let her date, but I was very strategic in that, hey, would you like to be my visitation partner? And I was old enough to drive, and so we would get in the car and take off. We're off to a horrible start,
Ron's
aren't we?
Whole story is the whole reason why I don't like my kids being in youth group, because I'm like, I need you to watch out for my girls, like that. Hey. Ron does not come along.
Look how it ended, though. It was all part of God's
miraculous plan. That's good. So you guys weren't, well, I guess you were technically, okay, well, here's what I need to know. So 11 years, Debbie, if you were parking, you were at least in some kind of relationship. Did you know you were in a relationship with Ron? Or was this? So then what happened? You guys graduate high school. Ron, you didn't stay in St. Louis, did you?
I went to Texas for a couple of years, okay. And then I actually went out to California for a few years.
Okay.
And
you guys weren't dating in that whole time, were you?
So.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, there's some good stories that are going to happen in here. Yeah, I feel like
during that time we were not dating.
Okay.
Go ahead. You can tell.
Debbie,
you can tell the story.
I have
yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, we were in a different school district.
Okay.
Because most people that went to First Baptist Arnold lived in Arnold or very close at that time. Now I think, you know, the lines are, you know, there's a lot of people that go to First Baptist Arnold, but
they all went to Fox.
We went to Fox.
Okay.
Ron went to Lindbergh. So, you know, he could be kind of, you know, sneaky, and it wasn't long.
Kind of sneaky.
It wasn't long before I learned that he had a girlfriend at school, and then it wasn't long after that I learned he had a work girlfriend, too. So he was kind of a ladies' man.
You were kind of a player is what I'm actually hearing.
He was the player. And
Debbie, how did you feel about it? So when you found out what happened, how old were you when you found out that this was going on?
I recently found letters that I wrote back when I was 13 or 14. I had to rip them to shreds. Somebody said, "Oh, you should have kept those. Those would have been so fun."
They were
really hate mail to Ron.
Yes.
Like
yes.
I hate yes. you. You broke my
yes.
heart.
Oh.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Debbie, I wish you would not have burned. Those would have been great to read.
Yeah,
I'm glad you bring them with you
on the podcast. But anyway,
okay. Yeah. So, Ron, do you have anything you would like to say for yourself?
I do have a rebuttal if I could make it. Yes. And so, so she always says that, you know, she was my church girlfriend. And then I had a school girlfriend and a work girlfriend. Wow. And
there might be some truth to that.
There might have been. And then what I say is, so, my wife has a hard time saying no. Like she says yes. I tell people that's how I got her to marry me. But I mean, you know, my wife to this very day is quite a looker, right? And so back those days, like if you could get Debbie Davidson to go out with you, that was a big deal. And so there was no shortage of guys that wanted her time and attention.
Okay,
and she couldn't say no. And so we have this little ongoing debate, right? She's like, I wasn't dating other guys. And I'm like, if a guy asks you out, comes and picks you up at your house, takes you out for dinner, pays for dinner, takes you to a movie, pays for a movie, brings you back to your house. That's a date. And she's like, no, we were just friends. So we have, our stories are a little bit different.
Okay, it gets a little hazy.
So what I'm trying to say is that I wasn't the only guy Debbie was hanging out during that time either.
Okay.
And so
I see how.
So yeah, so the road was a little twisted.
It was a broken road in there. But okay, so then what finally, walk us through, go back, what finally was the.
Okay, so we, for me, all through high school, I guess we kind of dated.
We had a love-hate relationship.
We did. We did. All through high school. But he was, of course, out of high school for most of my high school years.
Yeah.
So, but he was still around in the area. I think he went off to Baylor my last year of high school. But I do remember coming, I had a cousin that went to Baylor. So I went to visit. And so all through high school. But then probably when I went away to college, we did not date for the next 4 years.
Oh, wow. Okay, so there was a big break in
there. There was for 4 years, but we were friends, and he was best friends with my brother. So every holiday when we all were home, we were at church together. He was over at the house. And so we still had that love-hate relationship, although we did not date at all. I mean, we would talk and we'd go on ski trips. Our church went on a ski trip every year. And so we'd go on the ski trip and ski together. And
okay.
And
so how did
I would beat him down the slopes as we ski.
I feel like that's a...
We would have some competition there on the ski slopes, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
I feel like that probably... helped your favor because Ron's kind of competitive, but he likes somebody who can hold their own. So that's a good.
Yeah, so we spent lots of time together in those 4 years, and then I graduated from college. Well, actually, we went on a ski trip in January before I moved back home to start my internship.
Okay,
I did an internship at Missouri Baptist Hospital, and when we were on that ski trip, he said, you're moving back home. And he said, I think he was out in California at the time. And he said, I think I'll move back home too. And I'm like, why would you do that? And he said, because I'm going to marry you. And I said, there is not a chance in the world I would ever date or marry you again.
I wish we could go back and like have YouTube, like that YouTube and vlogging was a thing, and we could have just seen this, because I would love to have seen what happened.
Yeah. But we were friends. It was always a fun, playful back and forth. Probably we were both flirting, you know, at the time. But
and I did, by the way, move back from California, and then I asked her out on a date.
Yeah.
And she...
I said no for a few times.
Yeah, but she did go out on a date with me. We went to the Top of the Tower restaurant. I don't know if that's still around. It was out in Westport.
Okay.
And so took her. It was a pretty nice restaurant. And then sat there across from her that night on our first, like, that was a real date.
Yep.
Not 16 and 13 anymore, but now we're like much farther down the road. And so I did... And this was very cocky of me to do this, but I did look at her at that date, and I looked at her again and said, I'm going to marry you. And she laughed in my face.
So, Debbie, what finally wore you down?
That's the term.
Truthfully, a lot of prayer.
Yeah.
And a lot of God working in both of our hearts and a lot of change and, you know, a lot of maturity too. I mean, you know, you're a kid and you act one way, and as you mature, God changes you.
Absolutely.
And Ron Cathcart became a different man, and I'm sure I became a different woman.
Yeah.
So you go.
It took me 11 years after all of my player years and all of that.
He no longer had a...
Then it took a while for me to pay penance for her.
Okay,
to like,
that's good.
Hey, maybe you are really different.
And he no longer had a girlfriend at work and at school and at church. He was devoted at that point.
That's good. And has been, let's just state for the record.
Yes, let's state for the record.
From now on, Ron is no longer, we would not use the word player for Ron now.
There has never, and truthfully, there has never been a question since we started dating.
Yeah.
as adults
yep.
that he was committed to our relationship yeah. and that there was any.
So Debbie, I want to actually talk about this for a minute because you brought up a great subject and a lot of relationships struggle. I mean, that is one of the biggest things. Ron, you get the privilege and honor of getting to hear, and probably both of you together, hear a lot of people talk about their marriages, being mm-hmm. a pastor, like you have people come, and I'm sure that you guys know, I mean, a lot of relationship issues come with either somebody, there is some misrelationship steps that happen with somebody else, or they're afraid that that is going to happen. Can you guys just talk a little bit about what do you guys do in your marriage over the last 33 years to kind of help make sure that neither one of you have to question that you're being faithful and true to each other? Do you guys have some things that are kind of put in place or just ways that you know, like, hey, Ron's doing these things and you don't have to question that this or vice versa, Ron?
Absolutely. I mean, I think from day one of our marriage, we talked about that stuff.
Yeah.
And just that, and I know some people, you know, say, well, that just doesn't work for me. But we kind of just said we are not going to ever be in situations alone mm-hmm. with the opposite sex.
Yeah.
It's not a trust issue of each other. But for one, it's just it's, for other people looking on, there mm-hmm. it might raise questions in yeah. people's minds. And then it does open the door for the enemy to work.
Yeah.
And so
it's good. Ron, what would you add?
Yeah, well, that's just something that we have been very, you know, we talked about it early and it's something that was very important to us. And we have seen a lot of people, unfortunately, make missteps and mm-hmm. get involved with somebody that was not their husband or wife. And, mm-hmm. I remember one time many years ago at Two Rivers, we had a situation, right? And I was talking, there was somebody on our team that had messed up and I was talking to another pastor and he said these words, he said, you know, we're only two or three bad decisions from ending yep. up in the same place. And yep. that's the way Satan works. Right.
Absolutely.
And so, and you know, even with our team, Sarah, right? Like, yep. I'm pretty adamant about that with yep. our team and say, hey, I want you guys to be careful. And like, yep. if we're all going someplace, right? Like, yep. we don't even ride in yep. cars. I'm like, I yep. don't. And some yep. people would look at that and say, it's crazy. But it's like, no, don't put yourself in the situation of being alone with another man or a woman who is not your husband and wife. Because it's just, if you build your walls up high enough and far yep. enough out, then you don't ever have to worry about being there. And
absolutely.
Again, some people would look at that and say, oh, that's just crazy. But that's just something that we've both been yeah. really, just have stuck to that since the very beginning. So and, we don't ever put yeah. ourselves in those situations.
Yeah. And my dad being a pastor, that was one of his
yeah.
rules, you know?
Yep.
And so I watched on and saw that in their lives. And I can even remember, you know, mom didn't even want like somebody to come over and work at the house if she
right.
was alone.
Well,
if it was a man, I mean, they were very cautious and guarded
yeah.
in that area.
And everybody gets to make that choice for themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
And that would
yes.
be a conversation to you guys listening, whether you're mm-hmm. in a dating relationship with somebody or you are married. I mean, part of it is just have the conversation and say, I mean, Will and I have a deal that we know if I am going to be in a situation that's even, I text him and just say, hey, just so you know, this is the situation
right.
I'm in, just so that there's never, and he does the same thing with me with his work. It's
yeah.
a little different. And so
it
sometimes
is.
He
yeah.
has and of course there are situations and we don't want to be, our world is a little different time right now.
Yep.
But he just always texts me like, hey, I've got to work coffee with this person, but just want you to know. It's just a heads up so that there's never any, or if somebody came to me and was like, hey, I saw Will, you know, like there's just no worry about it. And so that is a great conversation for y'all listening to have with your partner or spouse to just, hey, just bring it out and be open about it, how you guys can love each other in that and make things that work for you in your relationship. Okay. So you got worn down. Ron, I'm going to ask you, Ron, about this.
Yep.
At some point, you had to officially ask Debbie to marry you.
Yes.
Do you have a story that you would like to tell about this?
Yeah, well, I do have a story. So I tell people all the time, Debbie's not great at making decisions. She's great at a lot of things, but making decisions is not one of them. I am a decision maker. Like, I make
yeah.
decisions all day, every day, right?
Yes.
Like, it's what
yes,
we
you do.
And so I was ready to get married a long time before she was. And I wore her down, and she finally said, yes, I'll marry you, just leave me alone, right?
Yeah.
That it's a joke, but it's not really a joke. Like, I did keep like, hey, what's up? Because I'm ready. And yeah. She's like, I'm not ready. And so finally, one day she did. Well, in fact, I went away to a year of seminary because I thought we were going to get married. And then she's like, no, I signed a contract to teach. And I'm like, well, I'm going to seminary. So we actually had a long distance dating relationship. I went out to California for the summer, helped work on a church plant out there. I remember I was sitting in California and I said to her, they had payphones back in these days, right? So we don't have payphones. And so I pulled into this grocery store parking lot at the end of the summer. I've got my truck. I've got everything I own in the back of the truck. And I pulled up to this payphone, and it was at the height to where I didn't even have to get out of my truck. So I pull up to this payphone, grab the payphone. I call her on the phone, and I'm like, hey, I am sitting in California, and I'm at the point to where I need to take the highway to go back to Fort Worth or come to St. Louis. And so we talked for a little while, and I said, I'm coming to St. Louis. And this was not an ultimatum, but I just said, hey, we've been doing this for a long time, and like, we need to either decide we're going to do this, or we need to decide we're not going to do this. And again, that wasn't an ultimatum. Yeah. It was just like, we need to move on with our lives, right?
Hold on a second. Debbie, are you remembering this situation up until this point the same way?
Just yes, that's pretty.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what did you feel about the conversation?
I remember saying, you do what God's telling you to do. Don't come back here because of me. But
come back here.
I still love you, and I think God's got things for us. And so I think that's kind of...
Yeah, and we had
but I done didn't tell the, him what to do.
We had the year before done the long distance thing with her teaching school, me in seminary, and we'd see each other, you know. But it was so hard. And so anyway, I was just like, this is really hard to do this long distance. Yeah. So I did call her, and I just decided I drove my truck back to St. Louis, and I said, I'm coming back to St. Louis for this next year. And we're going to be able to date, like see each other every day, and we're going to decide because we really do need to make a decision. And so anyway, that was in August at the end of the summer, and I drove back to St. Louis and I got a job here. And sometime in October, towards the middle or end of October, she looked at me one day and said, I'm ready. And I'm like, you're ready for what? And she said, I'm ready to get married. And I'm doing the hallelujah dance. So the next day I went to a jeweler and bought a ring.
Okay.
And then
he didn't ask me for.
Yeah. So
he didn't even mention it again. I'm like, what? You've been talking about this for 2.5 years now,
man, to do
and
right,
I
Debbie.
I say, okay, I'm ready, and then crickets. You know, he doesn't say
that's how it's been either.
But she didn't know that I literally the next day I went out and I bought a ring, and I was just waiting to get the ring back.
Okay,
so and she's like sitting there saying, this guy's been begging me to marry him, and now I say I'm ready, and now I get crickets. And so anyway, it took whatever, a month for me to get the ring back. And then as soon as I got the ring back, I set up a date, and I was going to do the whole nice restaurant and have them bring the ring out in the dessert and all those things that, you know, people do. And so I had it all set up, and the day, so she has no clue. She's actually getting mad at me. And so anyway, I had asked her out on a date. So she calls me up on the day that I'm going to ask her to marry me, doesn't know it.
Yeah.
And she said, I don't really feel that good. She's like, I don't feel like going to a fancy restaurant. I don't feel good. And I'm like, well, can we just get together and hang out? And she said, yeah, we can hang out. I just don't feel good enough to like go to a restaurant and do all that. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to come get you. And so I came and got her, and I just put her in the car and took off. She didn't know where we were going. She's like, where are we going? What are we doing? And I'm just driving. And so as we're driving, she looks at me and she's like, then she starts getting on me a little bit about, hey, like, aren't, you know, I told you I'm ready to get married. And I'm laughing because I'm like, I'm driving towards downtown St. Louis to the arch to ask her to marry me, and she's sitting in the passenger seat saying, why aren't you asking me? Right? And so anyway, I drove downtown, I parked, I went over, I got underneath the arch.
Aww.
And I actually gave a corny speech. I got down on one knee and I'm like, this is my city. This is my town. I was born here. This is the arch. There's the ball stadium. The St. Louis Cardinals play there. Like, I gave this really corny speech and I'm down on my knees and she thinks I'm playing around. She's like, get up off your knee. And so I took her hand and stuck it in my coat pocket, and that's where the ring box was. And she pulled the ring box, and then she realized I was being serious, and I opened the ring box and asked her to marry me underneath the arch downtown St. Louis.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That was sweet.
And so then, and at that time, there was a little McDonald's that was, it was a
riverboat,
but it was a McDonald's that was on the riverfront. And so, like, there was nobody else there because it was all pretty impromptu because my plan had fallen apart. And so we, like, walked over and got a cup of coffee at the McDonald's, and she's showing the guy behind the counter, look, we just got engaged.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, Ron, that's
there you
a good
go.
That's a good story. I'm proud of you that we didn't have to, like, shame you on the podcast that you had a horrible proposal story or something. So thank you for that's good. Okay. So you guys get married. We're moving right along. So this is the question I want to ask, because we've got 33 years to cover here, and we just got to the marriage part. This is great.
Yeah.
So you guys that's have probably known, I mean, 44 years, if you said 11 years.
Yeah.
Guys, that's a long, that's huge. You've had more than, like, what, 3/4 of your lives to know each other. And that's kind of something.
So here, let me do the math for you.
I'm not trying to ask how old you are.
We're not weird about our age. No. So I was 16, she was 13. I'm 60, she's 57.
That's
where we're at right now. So we've known each other for a long, long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Okay, so first year of marriage, I kind of love, so, like, if you can think back to those first early years, now I feel like you probably had, with knowing each other for 11 years, probably worked out a few of the beginning relationship.
Maybe you would just be wrong.
I would be.
Yeah.
I feel like I was trying to give Ron some credit that maybe he found some of this stuff. But can you just tell us, like, what was some of the early years like of Ron and Debbie's marriage?
Actually, I was talking to a young single girl yesterday, and we were talking about this, but just talking about how hard marriage is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's work. And even if it's wonderful, and I know there's couples out there, God bless them, that just say, oh, we had no problems and we never argue. And
I think they're lying, Debbie. I don't know that that's really true.
I kind of think they're lying, or else they just don't communicate. But anyway, what is so funny is I remember I was telling her yesterday, I said, what's so funny is I remember one time somebody saying, well, how was your first year of marriage? And Ron was like, oh my goodness, it was great. And I was like, what are you talking
about? Were we in the same relationship for the last year?
Whose marriage are you talking about? Because it was hard. It was so stinking hard. But I mean, nothing. It's just hard to learn to live with somebody else. And
that's true.
All their idiosyncrasies, whatever. Just, he was a quiet man, an introverted man that needed his quiet time. I was somebody that just wanted to hang out at night when he got home and chit chat about our whole day and talk about what we wanted to eat for dinner.
Yeah.
And
you weren't having that, Ron? You didn't want to talk about all those things?
No. No, I didn't really. That's not.
That's good. No, it's yeah.
No.
Okay.
So I think
what she's saying is we had a really different picture.
Yes.
Of what it was going to look like when we both came home from work at the end of the day.
Yes. So we talked about on our last episode, it's expectations, right? Mm-hmm. Picture, expectation. So I'm going to ask you, I mean, what has been, and you can count from either the beginning years or all the 33 years, what has been one of the biggest expectation adjustments of what you thought maybe marriage would look like or your marriage would look like? And then you've had to adjust your expectation because it was not quite measuring up.
Do you want me to go first?
Sure, go.
We both love people. I think Ron's become more of a people lover through the years.
Would that be
that's a good way to say it?
Sure.
That's a safe way to say it.
But I was always, I mean, I wanted to have people over, wanted to go socialize, wanted to be out and about. And he, and anybody that goes to Two Rivers knows this, you know, he's very happy to go to North Missouri and be all by himself. and he likes me to be along. He's okay with me being along.
He'll tolerate you being there, is what you're saying, Debbie.
As long as I can be quiet and let him have his solitude. But no, he's much more of a loner. And so I guess probably, and I saw that when we dated.
Yeah.
But you know what? When you're dating, you kind of enjoy that alone time, and you think, oh, well, you know, we'll do when we get married.
Right. Right.
And so you have the expectation, you know, that you're talking about. And so, I've learned that that's something that he really needs, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And he also is great. And I mean, it's God growing us both every day to learn to be more selfless and do the things that the other one needs or wants. That's but anyway,
Ron, what was one of your biggest?
Well, so let me speak into that for a second. So we're talking about the early years of marriage here.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say a couple of things. First of all, I remember standing on the platform. Her dad did our wedding, right? And so they're all the vows that you do, right? And I have done myself
done a lot of
hundreds of weddings, right? And so you're standing there, and I always laugh because I'm with this couple, and I'm saying, you know, do you do this? Do you do this? And they're like, yes, we do, right?
Yeah.
And they've got goo-goo eyes for each other. And as I'm standing there, I'm in the back of my brain, I'm just like, you have no idea what you're about to get into, right? Because there's no way that you can.
No, you can't.
There's no way that you can. And so I'll be very honest, right? Like when I was on that stage on February the 6th, 1988, promising whatever I promised to her, I didn't know anything about serving my wife. I was there for me.
Yeah.
Because she was a prize. Yeah. She was drop dead gorgeous. And my motives on that day were purely selfish. I didn't know any. And so then we get married, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, all right, I got my girl. And then we get married, we
this
go
good,
on
Ron.
A honeymoon, we come back, right? And so found out very quickly, this is something that we didn't know, because we did not live together or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
So we move into an apartment together, so we do our wedding, we go on a cruise, we come back, and now we're in an apartment.
Yeah.
So first day, we both got to go to work. 5:30 in the morning, she gets out of bed, pops the shutter on our window, and it goes up, and she starts singing, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made, right? I'm serious. And I am not a morning person. I at this point in my life, I get up early every morning. I actually go down and get coffee for us and bring it up, but I'm still not a morning person.
Yeah.
I'm up early, but I don't have to like it.
You don't want to hear the singing and the birds and the sun in your eyes.
So right out of the gate, I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. This is not going to work, right?
And so, this is not gonna
so you know, that's a deal. And then the second or third night of our married life after our honeymoon, it's a Tuesday night. I come home from work. I go upstairs. I put on my gym shorts, my sweatpants, my sweatshirt, and I come down the stairs. And she's like, "Where are you going?" And I said, "I'm going to play basketball
this
at the gym."
This makes me look really bad.
No, it doesn't. I said, I'm going to the gym to play basketball with the guys.
Yeah.
And like I do every Tuesday night.
Right.
And she's like, this is the first, you know, night of our first week of our marriage. And she's like, I thought we would, you know, have supper together and then we could sit on the couch.
Okay.
And
so that was back in the day where we had Sunday night church, Monday night visitation, and then you had Wednesday night church. Well, Tuesday was our only night.
I,
Let me say, just so you, I'm in the wrong on this. No. I was wrong. But let me just say, we're talking about the expectations and having your eyes open wide, right?
Yeah.
And so I come down, and this will also show you that you're talking to two very strong-willed people here, right? It's another thing in our marriage.
I can attest to that. Yes. I've seen some of it.
Yes.
And so really, I love it.
I come down, and I'm like, she's like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to the gym to play basketball. And she's like, this is our first night. I thought you'd want to stay home, you know? And so ultimately she kind of puts me in this, you mean to tell me that you'd rather go to the gym and be with a bunch of sweaty guys playing basketball than home here with me, which really wasn't fair. But I'm also in my selfish brain thinking, danger, danger, right? Like this isn't just about me playing basketball tonight. I'm going to lose some territory here. I'll never gain back.
Which you couldn't wrong, give in, is what
but,
you were.
But I'm just, telling you, that's exactly right. But we're just keeping it real here.
No,
so,
it's
like,
good.
This is our first week of marriage, and I am like thinking, whoa, right? And so, I, and you know me well enough to know, and I'm not proud of this, and I have matured in 33 years, but in that moment, I'm like, oh no, I'm not going to lose this battle. And so, I'm like, I'm going to the gym.
Well, friends, we are going to leave you hanging right there. We covered so much ground in this conversation with Ron and Debbie that we decided to make it a two-parter. Make sure to join us back here next Wednesday for the second part of our conversation and to find out how their first fight ended. We'd love for you to take a moment to go share this episode with a friend. We love seeing you all share these stories and hearing how much your friends are loving them too. We appreciate everyone every time. And if you haven't rated the show yet, it would mean a whole lot to us if you take a moment to do so wherever you podcast. Your reviews help others find these stories. Have an awesome week and go share a little something good with a friend today.